Today on episode number 404 of the School of Podcasting's morning announcements, which you can find right over there at schoolofpodcasting.com/404. We're talking a little podcast gear with Scott Herzog, and we're going to talk about what your podcast can learn from Chipotle and church. Yeah, hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson. Thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to recording to promotion to, did I already say promoting? Promoting. And when we get done with talking about promoting, we'll talk about promoting, because really that's a big chunk of it. And I bring my 20 plus years of training to the microphone. We flatten the learning curve, and I just kind of remind you that really you're never alone in your journey of podcast success. Our website is schoolofpodcasting.com, and if you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can go over to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. It's just that easy. And today we've got an interview, and I've got some interesting insights. Last week we talked about embracing what makes you you, and the fact that there is something different about you that only you can bring to the microphone. And we're going to kind of continue on with that particular discussion. But if you're new to the show, I always like to start off with a little either podcast news or a podcast success story. So today, my buddy Craig is going to talk about what's going on because of his podcast.
Hi, Dave. How's it going?
Check it out. It's from across the pond. Right.
I've got a because of my podcast story for you.
Splendid.
My name's Craig. I am an English teacher over here in sunny Valencia in Spain, and I teach English in class. And
Spain, how cool is that? I love the global audience. Okay, he teaches English. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you, Craig.
And I have a website and a podcast.
Excellent.
My wife and I love traveling, and a couple of years ago, we went to Venezuela on holiday. We went to the west of the country to a small mountain area called Mérida in the west. Very remote, just a few villages, more goats than people. And we went on a guided tour for a day in a group of about 8 tourists with a local guide from the village. At the beginning of the tour, we had to introduce ourselves. So in Spanish, I said, "Hi, I'm Craig. I'm English. But I live in Valencia, Spain, with my wife." Suddenly, the guide said, "Stop. I know your voice. You're the podcaster from Mansion Inglés, mansioningles.com. You have taught me how to speak English. I can't thank you enough." Now, podcasting hasn't made us rich, neither has the website. But even if it does one of these days, I don't think I will ever feel so happy, so appreciated, and so humbled as I did from that person's recognition in a remote place in Venezuela. We receive thousands of emails and messages, and there's all the chatter and noise on the web, but nothing over the years has touched me more than that personal encounter, which showed me the true reach and power of podcasting.
There you go. How cool is that? I love the fact, you think about it, we talked with Jordan Harbinger, and he was over in Vietnam. He typically podcasts from Michigan here in the States. He goes to Vietnam, and somebody else recognized him. That is very, very cool. And you can find Craig at Mansion, that's MansionIngles, Mansion Inglés. Thank you so much for doing that. And again, this shows you again that some of the best rewards have nothing to do with money. So thanks again, Craig, for sending that in. Speaking of sending things in, I want to congratulate Mike Schell. Mike was the first person to answer last week's survey question, which was, who was the guy that was talking about how you had to have passion because the work is hard and without the passion, you'll never make it? That was one Steve Jobs. That is from a clip where he and Bill Gates were interviewed at the same time from 2007. And it's interesting because at the time he had an iPhone in his pocket that had not been released. So it was a very interesting interview. I'll put a link to that out in the show notes. Go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/404. Also want to say hi to Chris Cohen from popmockers.com, Tony Manzo, Richard Grimshaw from donan.com, Tim McGovern, and Joe Hicks from the aboveaveragejoe.com. And they also all answered Steve Jobs. Just Mike was a little faster on the trigger. Now, I want to do something. I always spotlight new members from the School of Podcasting. And I do want to mention that I am going to be doing a Planning Your Podcast class. Now, this is going to be May 3rd. If you go over to howtopodcast.com, again, howtopodcast.com, you can sign up for this. This is going to be May 3rd. That is a Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Now, if you can't make it at that time, you will get a copy of the recording as well as a podcast launch sheet. It's a little handout that's going to be going over that. And some what this tool does, this class helps you answer all the questions that you need to answer before you even think about buying equipment. A lot of people really, they skip this step. They just go out and buy a microphone, and then it's later when they say, I wish I would have found you sooner. So if you're interested in this class, go over to howtopodcast.com and you'll see this is May 3rd and it is a limited seating. And one of the things I loved about this is I had a class a little while back and Joe was in it. He was in my podcasting in 6 weeks class and it was a really small group. I didn't promote it a whole lot and it's great. I'll be spotlighting those guys because they all have podcasts and iTunes. And I just want to play a little bit of the beginning of Joe's show. It's called The Above Average Joe Show.
The Above Average Joe Show, session number one.
I'm going to make you do what I do, baby.
Welcome to The Above Average Joe Show. We're going the extra mile. We'll raise the average in your life. Now, here's your host, the Above Average Joe himself, Joe Hicks.
That's right. It's time to raise your average and overcome the compelling temptation of mediocrity. I am so excited you're here with me to get this show up and running and off to a good start. I've actually been planning this podcast for some time now, and I can't even believe that it's finally here. I'd say this is probably the culmination of about a year and a half, nearly 2 years of planning and preparation for today. My name is Joe Hicks, and I am the host of the Above Average Joe Show, but I want to introduce you to someone, probably the most important someone to this show, the real Above Average Joe. Ladies and gentlemen, Above Average Joe is you. It's every average Joe or Joan out there who wants to get more from their job, from their friends and family, from their careers, give more back to their business and ultimately to their life. The Above Average Joe is every man and every woman who aspires to get a promotion or start a business or provide meaningful work for themselves or for their direct reports for a purposeful life. So you may ask, how do I know that you're above average? Well, it's pretty simple. There's one telltale sign, because you're here. You're already giving yourself by taking time out of your day to listen to podcasts, but more importantly, to listen to this podcast. So I hope you'll take some more time and subscribe and encourage other people that you know to join us here every week as we make this journey together and try to improve.
Not, think about that. That's his first episode. And this is why I always tell people, for me, the person that I want to coach through podcasting is somebody that I call the serious hobbyist, because that's Joe's first actual shot behind a microphone. And if you think about it, the first time you shot a basket, if you're shooting basketball, you probably missed. The first time you sang a song, maybe you weren't on key. Maybe the first time you did anything, you're not as good as you are the 10th time. And I love the fact that Joe went out, had a great intro produced. He's thought it through. He's a really great guy, too. That's the other thing I really like about Joe. So you can find, if you want to hear the rest of that episode, and if you want to see a really cool theme, you got to check out Joe's website. It's theaboveaveragejoe.com. He's had some great artwork made. He's got a great theme, kind of a branding thing with Joe and this balloon as you rise above. It's very, very cool. And he's got AAJ, again, Above Average Joe. So he's really thought it out. And it's looking good. It's sounding good. And I'm going to be just proud as punch. Is that even a phrase? Did I just make that up? Because why would punch be proud? Tickled pink. That's another one that makes no sense. Why isn't it tickled green? But anyway, Joe, so glad you got that off the ground. And it was kind of funny because we went through and we had some people in class. And Joe was just not a fan of Audacity. Wasn't sure what he was doing with it. And I'm glad to hear you figured it out. And it's awesome. So check him out, theaboveaveragejoe.com. And Joe actually sent in a question today, and when we get to our Q&A session, we will be doing that. Now, speaking of Q&A, the podcast review show that I do with Eric K. Johnson, who is at podcasttalentcoach.com, another great podcast to listen to. And when my wife is going to be able to make it, she'll be there, but her schedule is not letting her do that. But what we do now, we've changed the format. We listen to your show, we make notes, we pull clips, and then we bring you on the show. And the last episode, we had Monkey Radio with Mark. We actually had Mark on the show with us, and he was able to it's almost like a consulting class at this point. We're still pointing out the good and the bad, but Eric had this great phrase, and I just was like, man, I got to pull this to play this. If you want to hear the whole episode, go over to podcastreviewshow.com, but here is a quick promo from the new episode.
Thicken up your skin and get ready for a supersized serving of opinion. Delivering constructive criticism and powerful praise, it's the Podcast Review Show.
And I think this probably goes to show prep, because all we know is I want to talk to him about the Olympics. And I don't know anything more than that, neither does he, that what we're going to talk about. So it's in the moment. Now, that's why it may not be organized, because in any normal conversation, you might go, you know what I saw? Oh, wait, well, let me talk about this first. Blah, blah, blah. You may not fully formulate the conversation in advance, but on the other hand, not doing a podcast, maybe I need to say, okay, I know I want to talk about these. Here's how I should set it up, and that will be easier for the audience. Listen, it's not something I really thought about that much before, about how I'm going to structure that moment.
That's really all I'm suggesting, is that if you have the four things down you want to talk about, if the four things you want to talk about are the Olympics, the John's World, the help desk call, and something else, what is it about those things that you want me to laugh at or to marvel at or to better understand? That's what I always ask those three questions. What is it you want me to laugh at, marvel at, or better understand?
Join in on the conversation via voicemail, email, comments, and polls. It's all at our website, podcastreviewshow.com.
There you go. And I love that. Those three questions helps you focus in. And really what it comes down to is listening through the ears of your audience. And obviously you're still listening through your ears, because if it doesn't interest you, how are you going to talk about it in an engaging fashion to where it's going to engage your audience? So again, check that out over at podcastreviewshow.com. Next up, we have our interview with Scott Herzog. You can find him at podcastingguru.com. All right, well, joining me via Skype, you can find him at podcastingguru.com. The one and only that. Scott Herzog. That's close enough. I keep butchering Scott's poor last name. And Scott, tell us about your new podcast.
Well, I am running – thanks for having me on the show. And I am running a new podcast called Inside the Studio of the Podcaster. And the whole premise of the show is to talk about the gear that podcasters use to make their podcasts happen. And I don't know about you, Dave, but I run across podcasters – all the time that are using neat and new and different gear than what I'm using in the studio. And so part of the reason I'm doing this is so that we can kind of all grow together, because it's a podcastingguru.com, because a guru is not an expert, but the guide. And I kind of view us kind of guiding each other in this podcasting world as we learn about different equipment, and maybe some of it we use and maybe some of it we don't. But this is a way for us to kind of learn together and kind of grow and say, hey, that's a cool piece of equipment. Hey, I never heard of that microphone before. And maybe we need it, maybe we don't. But it's just kind of cool to see what's going on behind the scenes in the studio.
Yeah, that's true. You can, in some cases, save yourself some money by going, well, there's a piece of equipment I don't need.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I mean, we have the tendency as podcasters to say, ooh, that's nice and shiny. Let me go buy.
Look, it's gold. Ooh.
So, and we want, and the reality is we want to make wise decisions. We want equipment and apps and software and microphones that are making our studio better, that are making us sound better, but we don't want to overdo it.
There are a few podcasts about podcasting. What inspired you to start this one?
Well, I was familiar with some of the podcasts. I mean, I cut my teeth in podcasting, listening to Cliff Ravenscraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested in learning more about the gear the podcasters use. I mean, I'm very familiar and intimately aware of the gear that I use. But every time I go to like a convention, every time I talk to other podcasters, I'm learning about new gear. And some of it I like, and some of it I say, well, I like my setup better. But that's part of the learning process. And so when I looked online, I said, there's not really a show dedicated to the gear that podcasters use. There's a lot of shows about podcasting, and many of them do talk about the gear, but exclusively the gear, not so much. And so that's kind of what made me say, you know, I believe there's a market for this. There's an audience of obviously a lot of podcasters out there, and there's an audience that would be interested in seeing what other podcasters are using in their studios.
Now, are you worried that this podcast could be expensive for you? Because I could see if I did this show, I'd want to buy every other piece of equipment.
Well, I will tell you that I have bought some gear because of people I've talked to on this podcast already. But I feel like I almost have my studio the way I want it. So except for some small things here or there, I don't really feel I need to go overboard in gear. So I don't feel a huge temptation for that. But I understand the concern. And I think I keep telling my wife, I'm like, hey, this is a way to connect to other podcasters and a way to find out and learn about other gear that's out there that maybe I'm not using. And I try not to spend too much.
And you said you, you know, as many people did, you learned about podcasting by listening to Cliff Ravenscraft. So I'm going to assume you have a Heil PR40.
How did you guess?
What else? What other kind of gear you got?
So I have a Heil PR40, and I actually when I started out, just to back up, I started out with the little blue snowball, and quite early on, I said, the moment I started speaking into the snowball and listening to it, I'm like, oh man, this picks up way too much noise for me. And so I think I fired up my SM58, and I was running into a Behringer mixer for a while. Mm-hmm. And then that ran into, let me see what I have, the Zoom H2,
mm-hmm,
that's a flash recorder. And then I graduated to the Tascam DR7. And most recently, one of my recent gear acquisitions, not because of the show, but prior to that, was the Zoom R16. And so that allows me to record directly into it. It allows me – what I love about the Zoom R16 is I can record my co-host sitting across the room from me, my voice, and plus maybe another line in, my sound effects or whatever, all on separate tracks. When I boot them into Adobe Audition, it separates them all and makes them sound – and I can level them and make them sound beautiful.
So the R16 is not your typical portable recorder. What is that?
Well, that it's made by Zoom, the same people that made the Zoom H2. Basically, I think this is actually a musician board, and I encountered it because of a co-host that I work with on the Dune Saga podcast, David Moulton. He uses it, and he lugged this thing. It's not real huge. It's, I don't know, maybe a foot and a half long and maybe not quite a foot wide, and it's pretty thin. And he would lug this to the conventions we would go to because we cover a couple different sci-fi conventions throughout the year. And so he would lug this, and he has this bag of a bunch of basically SM58s, and we would plug in, And one of the episodes I was editing, and I love the fact that I was able to edit these tracks separately. I bypassed the computer altogether. Early on when I was podcasting, there's a lot of people that record very successfully into the computer. I bypassed it because I found that some of my earlier computers made a lot of noise, and I had times where it glitched on me. And so I got kind of gun-shy with the whole thing. So I just bypassed it and just recorded straight to a flash recorder.
So just to I'm going to jump in here. What this is, it's a multi-track recorder. So when you hear about musicians going to the studio and we had a 48-track recorder, things like that's what this is. This is not your typical podcast gear. This is thinking way outside of the box. Not a bad idea. I just don't see this as something that everyone will adopt. It is kind of overkill. And in fact, really, programs like Audacity and Adobe Audition and Sony Music Studio, those are multi-track recording software. So you can kind of do that. You can mix down things separately in the software. You can't record them separately, and that's what this program allows you to do. Now, you can use something like the Zoom H4n or even the H2 and have two people each in their own separate tracks. What this allows you to do, if you wanted to go completely crazy, is have 16 different things recorded at the same time. Yeah, that's it. And I think everybody who does that for an extended period has the, oh man, that one time I was having the best interview ever, and then it went sour.
We all have those no matter what equipment we use. So
now, your show's, you know, just coming out of the gate, and any equipment that you've heard of at this point that you're like, wow, I had no idea?
Well, the compressor that we talked about that'll be airing probably a couple episodes from when you hear this, depending when you air this, Dave. The compressor, the 286A that you use, absolutely phenomenal. I'm definitely in the market to pick up one of those.
Very cool. Yeah, it's my baby. I love that thing.
No, and there's people that are using different software than I use, like Doug Payton's using Goldwave for his audio editing software. I never even heard of Goldwave prior to that, and I didn't hear of Alphonic. I didn't, you know, until I chatted with him as well, and so I begun using that. That doesn't cost you anything at this point. It's free, alphonic.com, and it just helps streamline the process of me putting out a show. And so some of the gear is gear that I didn't hear about, but I'm using now, and some other stuff I'm like, well, that's kind of cool and people are liking it, but I still won't use it.
Well, that, and it's nice to get a firsthand accounting of it, because it's not so much, obviously you're asking what's your favorite equipment, so everything's going to be positive, but it's nice to get somebody who's got real hands-on experience.
Well, and that's the thing, Dave. I mean, the reality is, when someone is talking about a piece of equipment that they're using, we aren't necessarily getting the manufacturer's sell point. We're getting someone who's actually using this equipment in the studio and making it work for them. And so is it going to be positive? Yeah. But it's also – but we don't just talk about the positive things. I mean, we talk about some of the drawbacks on some of the recording software, and I know with Alphonic and with some of the other things we talked about. So it's not all like, you know, roses, right. But it is very positive, and I think that's important to hear as well. You know, how are people using this successfully? And the reality is there's some people that will use the same equipment, and for them it's going to be like, maybe it doesn't work quite as well, but this person is making it work for them in their studio, and I think that's awesome.
Well, you've said you've been doing your sci-fi podcast you've been doing for how long?
I guess 2009, early 2009 is when I began that. And I was podcasting, I guess 2008 is when I began podcasting. So,
okay.
It was my first podcast, but it's been the longest running one.
Now, because one of the questions I always get is, you know, what are you doing to promote your show? What are you doing to grow your audience?
For the science fiction show or for Inside or both?
Both, really, yeah. And before he answers that question, I just realized, through the magic of editing, I edited out Scott talking about his sci-fi podcast. You can find him at sci-fi diner podcast.com. Sci-fi diner podcast.com.
Well, you know, Twitter and Facebook are my friends. I mean, they're obviously a place where I connect. I think getting in and responding to the different communities. I'm a part of a couple of podcasting communities on Facebook where people ask questions, and I, along with 1,000 other podcasters, kind of respond to those questions. But it's a way to kind of put yourself in. I think that one of the things that with the Inside the Studio, the podcaster that I'm doing to build the community, is to have people like you on, Dave. One of my marketing strategies of the Inside the Studio, the podcasters, that I have other podcasters on the show that hopefully will also promote the episode, and, you know, we'll tap into what we'll share audiences a little bit by having each other on each other's show. And it's a way to kind of cross promote. And I think that's definitely intentional. There's a reason that I'm not really going after the businesses themselves to talk about the equipment, but to get the podcasters on. And so it's intentional to both hear their perspective, but also to kind of grow an audience as well.
Well, and I got to say, you made that super easy. There's a link right on your website. It's like become a guest or be a guest. I forget the exact wording. And you fill out a form on what do you want to talk about? Where can I find it? And boy, it was super easy. And the next thing I know, I got an email from you going, hey, when would you like to be on?
Yeah. Well, the cool thing was I was actually considering contacting you when you did it. Because initially, when you're starting out, you have to contact the people a little bit. So it was neat that you actually submitted that. So, yeah, we do make it easier. I think it's podcastingguru.com/guest, I think is what it is.
There you go. And if somebody's looking to be a guest on your show, is there any kind of criteria? Just you got to have a gear you want to talk about, I guess.
Well, really, it's number one, you should be a podcaster. That would always helpful. And it really, you know, I'm open to talking about a lot of different gear. It doesn't need to be the gear that I necessarily use, or in some cases it is, in some cases it's not. But you need to have something that you feel passionate about. In theory, it won't be something that we've covered on the show before, and that's really not that hard to do. There are 1,001 ways that podcasters go about putting out their podcasts, and a lot of recording programs, a lot of microphones that people use. It's going to be quite a bit until we start doubling up. And so you just have to have a piece of gear. It can be a software, it can be an app or a plugin that you're using, and it could be your website, it could be something that you do to promote. But it's something that you feel that your podcast really couldn't do without. And you know, it's a way for you to come on and plug the podcast. So it's a way to promote yourself, as well as kind of share a little bit about some of the equipment you use.
Excellent. Again, we can find you over at podcastingguru.com. Any other websites we should be plugging?
Well, if you go to podcastingguru.com, there are links to my other shows on that site that'll take you to the Sci-Fi Diner podcast. We'll take you to the Dune Saga podcast, where we're working through the novels of Frank Herbert, Brian Herbert, and Kevin J. Anderson, the Dune series. So if you're into that, you can join us there. But if you go to podcastingguru.com, it'll take you and give you links to all those sites.
Okay, the last thing we want to talk about, and I even hesitated to bring this up, depending on what version of my last episode you did, you may have heard this, or later versions this was cut out, because I cut out a couple other things where I hit the wrong button in the middle of the show. That was kind of fun. So if you heard that, you have a collector's edition. But I jokingly called you out on the name of your show, which again is
Inside the Studio of the Podcaster.
Yes, and I said it's awfully close to Ray Ortega's Inside the Podcaster Studio. So I was kind of like, hey,
similar, don't they?
So we might as well talk about that. Give us the history when you created the show.
So when I created the show, I did not do my iTunes research like I should have. Like, what I should have done is said, okay, here's a title I'm thinking of going with. And actually, oh, I should pull this up here. Well, initially, when I did not just launch a show without talking to anyone. I chatted with a good friend of ours, Wayne Henderson, who does the Revolution Revealed podcast and a ton of other podcasts that he's done. And I ran it by him. And he said, you know, there's this other podcast out there by Ray Ortega that you should be aware of. You probably should change a name. How about this? And let me see if I can find real quickly the original name that I had up there for that podcast, and you'll see that the change in it here in just a second. But you know, I was somewhat aware. I had never listened to Ray prior to, I guess, maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. So, in that way, it was he was kind of new, and I have since. So I do, Ray, if you're listening, I do know who you are now. At least I know your radio voice or your podcasting voice here. But that was kind of the thing that got me thinking. I said, well, I got to change it. I don't want to be too similar. But again, you called. It was funny that you called me out on it only because I had really worked to not be saying. So the original name was titled Inside the Podcasting Studio, or Inside the Podcaster Studio, which is really close.
Yeah.
So he said, well, maybe you should change this to reword it so that it's not that. And he had kind of suggested something else, something similar to what it is now, Inside the Studio of the Podcaster. You know, the concern is that I think we kind of talked about this maybe on my show where we just said – at one point of this, I don't want to narrow it down. Like I could, my podcast is all about podcasting gear. So I own the domain, thepodcastersgear.com, and I could call it the Podcasting Gear Show. And that would obviously cover what I'm currently covering, but it does limit me a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the good thing is you want to niche down, but if you ever want to spread your wings a little bit, something like that really locks you into talking about, well, we're going to talk about podcast gear again.
Well, and I guess it depends on how you define podcast gear. I mean, do you consider Facebook part of your gear? I mean, it can be.
Yeah, that's true. It's part of the promotional tool. But we've cleared it up. You were not...
I was not intentionally trying to steal from Ray.
And let me interject in here. I just realized Ray always says, welcome back inside the podcaster studio, I believe is how he starts his show. His show is actually called The Podcaster Studio. There's no inside in Ray's name. It's just The Podcaster Studio. So, and if you know, so just to clarify, I said it was inside. It's not. Ray's show is The Podcaster Studio, which is, again, slightly different from Scott's here.
But I will admit, I'll be the first to admit that it is awfully close, and you may hear an episode coming down the pike where I actually change a name. So it would be because of you, Dave, but in a good way. In a good way. Because you just need to hear that I'm not, if there's a way that I can make my show better and further distinguish myself, then I want to do it. I mean, that's it.
It's that old that's what one of my mantras is, constant improvement. I'm always and really if you think about it, that's the ultimate for a podcast gear show, because we could go out and spend $2,000 at Guitar Center.
Yeah.
And the next week we'd be like going, I wonder if we could get, can I find a better pop filter?
Right. Dude, you can make those out of pantyhose just as well as you can buy them.
But maybe I should use gray pantyhose instead of brown.
Sure.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Scott, for coming on the show, man. I deeply appreciate it.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Again, find him out at podcastingguru.com. If you like what you hear, all right, I want to talk today. We've talked in the last episode about embracing what makes you you and the fact that you do bring value that nobody else can bring to the microphone, to your camera. And I want to talk about an industry where a lot of people could go, oh, I'm not getting into that. Several years ago, researchers at Cornell University and Michigan State University conducted a study of restaurants in three local markets over a 10-year period, and they concluded that after the first year, 27% of restaurant startups failed. After 3 years, that number went up to 50%, and after 5 years, went up to 60%, and at the end of 10 years, 70% of restaurants that had opened for business a decade before had failed. And I've got resources, I've got sources for this out again at schoolofpodcasting.com/404. And on the other hand, all right, that's one thing. It sounds kind of bleak. But on the other hand, nearly 1,000 new independently owned restaurants opened over the past year. This was according to a Forbes 2012 article. And another study showed that those are independent, by the way, restaurants. So Bob's Burgers or something like that. And chains, McDonald's, Wendy's, whatever – those opened up 1,888 restaurants in the same time period, meaning 2,888, let's just call that 3,000 restaurants in a year in 2012. And the reason for this, of course, is people need to eat. In fact, in a 2009 study, it showed that the industry had gone up by a whole whopping 0.5%, and that spending on restaurants had gone up 1% in the past year. Now, I realize you're like 0.5% and 1%. Yeah, this is a $632 billion industry. So while thousands of restaurants close every year, even though people are still eating, and in the U.S., if you look at us, we're eating a lot. People still open new restaurants every year. Okay, Dave, what does this have to do with podcasting? Well, you may be thinking, well, I was going to start a podcast, but I saw that somebody else was doing a podcast in my genre. And we talked with Scott today. We're going to be talking with Jason from Podcast 101. These are genres, I guess we could say, topics that have been covered, but they're bringing their own slant to it. And so I want to think about restaurants here. Think about the restaurant Chipotle. Now, I realize if you're not in the U.S., you may have no idea what I'm talking about. We have one restaurant chain called Subway where you walk in and you order. They bake the bread fresh right there, or so they say, and they basically make the sandwich right there in front of you. Chipotle takes this same framework, hence the point here. I talked about people. You take an idea and then you put your slant on it. So Chipotle takes this. They serve tacos and burritos, and they have a very focused menu. So that would be my first thing that we can learn from Chipotle. Number one, they niche down their menu. It takes next to nothing to order because there really isn't that much on the menu, and you don't have to sit there and study it. They provide consistent content, right? They have a well-oiled machine. If you go to a Chipotle, you'll notice one thing. First of all, you're probably going to notice that the guy behind the counter that's making your burrito has giant earlobes. I wish the chances of winning the lottery were as good as the chance that the guy making my burrito, or in my case, a crispy chicken taco, has those giant earring loops. I don't know what it is about Chipotle, but that's one thing that's consistent. But you're going to see there's one person cooking, one person chopping, and about three or four people scooping up your food for you. And no matter what location I go to, my crispy chicken tacos taste the same. I can rely on them. I don't have to worry about wasting my time if I go to a Chipotle restaurant. They also get to the point. And when you go there, now I will actually go, there's one right by where I work, and there will be people lined out the door at lunchtime. But I will actually get through that line faster than if I go to, let's say, a McDonald's or a Wendy's and I sit in the drive-thru with maybe four cars in front of me. I'm thinking I've only got four people. Chipotle will blow through literally a line of about 14 people faster than if I go through a drive-thru. When you get up to the person at the counter, they don't ask you, hey, what's the weather like out there? No, it's what can I get you? Then they ask you for your toppings. They know what I need, and they know really I don't need chit-chat. I don't need to talk about the weather. What I need is some food. And they focus on that, and they give me what I need. The other thing they do is they embrace their differences. We talked about this last week. What makes you you, your experience, and your attitude, and all those things that make you you. And in the case of Chipotle, they stood up and said, look, we don't like the way that the farm industry is raising things like pigs and chicken. And so they stood up and said, no, we're not going to do it that way. We don't want to feed people a bunch of food with pesticides in it and things like that. And so what's interesting now, their brand means more than cheap, spicy, fast food. It's a statement that ties in with a lifestyle and about thinking different and standing up for what you believe in. So now when you wear a Chipotle shirt, it doesn't just say, I like chicken tacos. It's saying, I care about treatment of animals. So that's some of the things we can learn about Chipotle. Number one, they weren't afraid to start. They went into an industry that has tons of competition, but they did something different. They didn't just say, well, we're going to call ourselves McSmithers, and we're going to do, we're going to call it the Big Earl, which has two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a bun, which, if you're not familiar, is basically the Big Mac, right? They didn't go in and just rip it off. They took Subway, like, they're not serving any subs at Chipotle. Why? Because that's Subway. They're Chipotle. They embraced what they wanted to do different. They have a well-oiled machine that's well planned out, and you get in, you get out, and you get what you need. Okay, so that's what we can learn from Chipotle. They weren't afraid to start, even though all sorts of restaurants close all the time. They went ahead and did it, and what do you know? Their audience that found them, I had a friend of mine. How did I find out about Chipotle? I had a friend of mine that said, have you ever been to Chipotle yet? And I'm like, what's a Chipotle? And he goes, oh, you got to go. It's like tacos. And I'm like Taco Bell. And he's like, oh, Taco Bell is like dog food compared to this. Wait till you hear this. They provided content that made people tell their friends. That's a key point there. All right. So think about this. Think about, and this is not a sermon. This is not any judging thing. We're going to talk about churches here. Now, why? And I'm going to get in a lot of trouble for this next sentence. Churches have the same, you ready? Product. Ooh, I know a lot of people are like, what? Did you just call Jesus a product? No, seriously. Think about this. All right? Every Christian church has the exact same story. They're delivering the story of Jesus Christ. The majority of them say he was the Son of God, born of a virgin. He died on a cross for you and rose from the dead 3 days later. Almost every church, I'm pretty sure, is going to say that. So why do more and more churches open every year? Well, according to this, man does not live by bread alone. People have a spiritual need. And I don't want to get into that can of worms, but a lot of us do. But then why are so many churches closing? Why are we losing especially college-age people? Well, there's a couple different reasons for that, and I'm going to say some of it is the delivery. And I want to bring up this point. Gone with the Wind. Have you ever heard of that movie? It was made in the 30s. It was my mother's favorite movie. And if you ever get a chance to see Gone with the Wind on the big screen, you got to see it just for the scene where Atlanta is burning. But Gone with the Wind came out in the 30s in the theaters, obviously. Then it went to VHS. Then it went to DVD. Then it went to Blu-ray. Same exact message, different delivery system. All right, but the same message. And so, in my opinion, there are churches that are stuck in VHS. They're not changing the delivery of this. And so, the church I go to actually provides earplugs for those that don't like their anthems to rock. I mean, we clap our hands. We literally, and I'm not making this up, we have smoke machines in my church. It is cool. And you know who loves our service? Yeah, the college kids that left the church that didn't change. So they have all the same message. Many follow the same format, right? You have your announcements, then you pray, then the music, then the offering, then the sermon, then the song, then the exit. My church that I grew up in has not changed their format ever. And consequently, it's kind of boring at times, right? So when I used to do a show, I still do occasionally, called Grow Your Church Show, and it researched church growth. And again, this is tying this back into podcasting. The churches that are growing, at least in America, almost all of them, they go out and they find out what's going on in their community. They find out what they need, and they go into their community and they help them solve them. Now, I want to talk about Joel Osteen. Now, I affectionately refer to Joel Osteen as the Happy Jesus Man. And he actually opens up his sermon with a joke. Sounds like this.
Thanks for tuning in, and thank you again for coming out. I like to start with something funny, and I heard about this pastor. He found a dead mule on the church grounds. He called the health department, and they said they couldn't pick it up without authorization from the mayor. Well, the mayor was known to be very rude and hard to get along with. When the pastor called, the mayor didn't disappoint. He started ranting and raving and finally said to the pastor, "Why are you even calling me? Isn't it your job to bury the dead?" The pastor prayed and asked God for the right response. He said, "Yes, mayor, it is my job to bury the dead, but I always like to notify the next of kin first."
There we go. Little yuck yuck. But here, laughing in church, are you kidding? Yeah, then he actually has them hold up their Bibles and state how they believe it to be true, and it basically sets the stage for what they're about to get. So in a nutshell, here's what's going on with Joel Osteen. He has niched down Christianity. There are all sorts of stories in the Bible where God's wrath is shown and he's going to smite you, right? There are all sorts of verses about Satan and hell. Joel got to know his community, and he found them to be poor in spirit. They lack self-esteem. They may lack skills on getting along with their family, their coworkers. And so he's identified his audience. Check this out. Here's this clip. And tell me if when you listen to this, you don't go, yeah, okay, that's me.
I want to talk to you today about being comfortable with who you are. There's an underlying pressure in our society to be number one. If we're not the best, the leader, the fastest, the most talented, the most beautiful, the most successful, then we don't feel good about ourselves. We got to work harder. We got to run faster. A neighbor moves into a new house. Instead of being inspired, we're intimidated, thinking that's making me look bad. I got to keep up. A coworker gets a promotion. We feel like we're falling behind. A friend is going to Europe on vacation. We're going to our grandmother's 12 miles down the road. If we're not careful, there's always something making us feel like we don't measure up. We're not far enough along. But as long as you compare your situation to others, you will never feel good about yourself, because there will always be somebody more talented, more beautiful, more successful. You have to realize you're not running their race, you're running your race. You have a specific assignment. God has given you exactly what you need for the race that's been designed for you.
So there again, you can see that he's using humor. In fact, here's a little more humor.
You shouldn't feel less than if someone seems to have a more significant gift. It takes a secure person to say, I'm comfortable with who I am. See, I realize I'm never going to be able to minister like T.D. Jakes, but that's okay. Maybe one day he'll get better. But I hear these ministers, they have deep voices. They're great orators. They can move the congregation with their words, give you chill bumps. And I get up here with my Texas twang. This is what I've been given. I can improve it. I can develop it. I can cultivate it. But my voice is never going to sound like James Earl Jones. There's always going to be somebody that can minister better, further along, more experience. But you know what? That doesn't bother me. I know I have the gifts I need for my assignment. And here's the key. You don't have to have a great gift for God to use it in a great way.
So here again, he's using humor, but he's tying it back into his message, which in his case is God. The other thing he does, again, we're going to talk about. So his delivery is a little different. It's a little more, dare I dare say, fun. And the other thing he does, we'll just play a small clip of this one, is we've talked about the importance of stories. If you can find a story to help illustrate something you're trying to get across, it seems to be the secret sauce.
When my father was 17 years old, he gave his life to Christ. The first one in the family. He knew that he was called to preach.
There you go. So you get the idea. He's using stories. So, and Joel talks a lot about how God's favor is waiting to be poured out on you. Now, okay, so he's got a different delivery. And is it working? Well, his church, yeah, it meets in an old arena used by an NBA team. So the NBA basketball team moved out. And he moved in. It seats about, 16,000 people. Same message. He's niched it down. I'll be the first to say I've never heard him talk about hell and Satan. And, you know, but on the other hand, he seems to understand his audience. And he's pulling out pieces of the Bible that he needs to hear. So I'm not here to argue if he's a good pastor. I know Joel Osteen, like most people who are successful, is a very polarizing feature, whether you're Donald Trump or Rush Limbaugh or Howard Stern. A lot of people, you either love Joel Osteen or you hate him. I'm not here to argue if he's a good pastor or not. What I want to point out is that he has the same story as every other church. So if you're thinking, there's already a bunch of NASCAR podcasts. There's a whole bunch of podcasts about Disney or about whatever it is, about podcasting. What are you bringing that's different? We talked about that last week, but his delivery and his ability to influence have allowed him and his church to connect with an audience and allow him to grow his church into an arena and to further his story. So another reason So again, think about what you bring to the table. Think about how you can change the delivery to be something new. Church isn't anything new. That's what, thousands of years old. But here's somebody who's doing it with a different style that's connecting with his audience. And that's why we always say that the key thing you have to figure out is, who is your audience? Who do you want to listen? And here's another great stat here. According to the National Household Travel Survey, this is of the U.S. Department of Transportation, Bureau of Transportation Statistics. You ready for this? 128.3 million people commute to work in the, and this is just in the U.S. 75.7% of that 128 million commute alone. That means that 97,123,100 people are in their car every morning with nothing to do but listen to the really horrible radio. That's just in the U.S. Think about what that number is on a global platform. People riding trains in France and wherever, right? Now, another interesting thing is there's a apparently a book called The Book of Lists, and it shows that the number eight fear among humans is, you want to guess what it is? That's right, being alone. So how'd you like to help those 97,123,100 people that are alone in their car, give them something to listen to? And you can bring your unique slant, your value. Sure, you can take what other people are doing, but you can switch it. Like I said, they're not serving subs in Chipotle, but they did vehemently take their production and say, that's a good idea. I can make it better. So sure, a lot of restaurants open and a lot of restaurants close, but the ones that find what their audience wants and they give them what they want, they deliver it maybe in a different style, a different format. Maybe somebody's doing your topic and they do an hour-long show. Well, maybe you should do one that's 5 minutes. I was talking with Larry Decay, speaking a great great accents. He's from Kentucky. And he does The Business of Writing Today. And he was talking about how he listens to Ask Pat. This is Pat Flynn's new show. Why does he like it? Because it's about 5 minutes long. There are those people that like short podcasts. You don't. You have told me that you wanted more information. That's why this show is about an hour long now. It used to be about 45 minutes. So think about it. You have a unique value. You can come up with a unique delivery. And who knows? Maybe your podcast will be the next Chipotle. Maybe your podcast will be having meetups in an arena for your fans to come and listen to you. So I had mentioned Joe Hicks at the beginning of the show, and he had sent me an email, and I love to answer your questions. And he said, after listening to the last episode where I was talking about people just blatantly ripping off stuff, and he said, I'm worried about, you know, I don't want to do that. And he said, I asked him more questions of my guests, but I word them slightly different than, say, someone like John Lee Dumas, because Joe is an entrepreneur. Now, he's not, it's not really an entrepreneur podcast. He says, the premise of my show is to meet people where they are and just help them be successful, or in his case, of course, above average, in their jobs, their career, their business, not necessarily to ignite them to be entrepreneurs. Hence, there's an example. He's taking the format. It's an interview show, but he's putting his own spin on it, just in the same way that Chipotle took Subway's production line and they put their own spin on it. He says, other questions are similar to the ones asked on those types of shows, but I ask them because they're geared towards potential, you know, different directions and things like that. What are you reading, and what apps do you use that are helpful? That's not ripping people off. That'd be like me saying you can't talk about podcasting because I was the first person to do that. Well, that's insane. I don't have a patent on talking about podcasting, and that's a whole other thing we'll talk about in the future with Adam Carolla. We should be helping out. No, so no, because Joe asked, am I stealing somebody's content by asking a similar question? No, I can't. What if I said, how are you doing? If somebody comes on the show and then somebody else has a guest come on and they go, how are you doing? And I go, oh, he ripped me off. Well, no, I don't have a patent on how are you doing. But if I said, hey, how you doing? Now, anybody that watched the TV show Friends is probably going, hey, that's Joey. He's doing Joey. So there are different ways to know when and when you're not ripping somebody off. And here's the other line that I want to say on this. Your audience knows, too. because if you're doing something similar to another show that's similar to yours, they're probably going to eventually find it and they're going to figure out that, wow, I never knew it, but that person just blatantly ripped it off from that person. Keep that in mind. So, but no, Joe, you are not ripping that off. So I don't want people to think that you can't ask a question. You can't be anything like that. I think that's what kind of inspired part of this show. Think of Subway, think of Chipotle. They took the production line and spun it in their own direction to meet their audience's need. But they're not infringing on Subway and things like that. So thank you, Joe, for writing in. And let me remind you again that the next Planning Your Podcast class starts May 3rd. Go over to howtopodcast.com. And if you want to go from planning to recording your gear, everything like that, those classes are going to be coming in the future, but we do have step-by-step tutorials at the School of Podcasting. Just go over to schoolofpodcasting.com, click on the Join Now button. That's all self-paced tutorials where the How to Podcast classes are live on Saturday afternoon. Now, if you can't make it at that time, it is 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. If you can't make that, you can still sign up and get a recording of it if that's the way you want to go. And so, again, you can check that out, or you could do these self-paced tutorials at the School of Podcasting. Anyway, I would love to help you, work with you, identify what makes you you, help you identify your unique value, help you shape your idea, and launch your podcast. I would love to do that. And if you have any questions about anything, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. And if you don't have a website yet, we do have a quick start program. You can go to send me an email with the phrase quick start. This is the way this works. I'll say this real quick. That is, if you don't have a website, I send you a link. I earn a commission when you order hosting through me. I take my commission and I go, thank you. And I give you a free month at the School of Podcasting. And I set up your website and I install WordPress for you. And so you end up with a bare bones website. You have to do the graphics and obviously the content, but you also then have access to tutorials that show you how to manage your website. And of course, how to plan your podcast, how to get your gear and all that other stuff. So thank you so much for tuning in. In next week's show, we're going to be talking about deadlines. Are they a good thing? Are they a bad thing? Because I know my last week's show, I felt I had a deadline because I always put something out on Monday. My father had passed away. And, that's the story of, is a deadline a good thing or a bad thing? And I should say to everyone who reached out to me to offer their condolences, thank you very, 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 very much. I'm doing okay. And my family's okay. My dad was 84 years old, and that was his call. He had cancer come back, and he went, you know what? I'm not fighting this time. I'm done. I'm good. I'm ready to go. And, you know, when you die in your sleep, that's the way I sign up for that myself. So thank you so much for all the kind words. I appreciate that. And I hope to see you on the inside at the School of Podcasting. Until next week, class is dismissed. Take care and God bless. And we're going to talk about what your podcast can... Seriously? Really? Wow. I'm at podcastingguru.com. He is Scott Hertzdog. And Scott...
Can we stop?
Okay. It's not Hertzdog. It's Hertzog. It's how do you pronounce your last name?
It's Hertzog.
Hertzog. Yeah, Hertzdog is like a cool nickname from college. It's the Hertzdog, baby. Yeah.
It's Zog, man.
All right. Oh. Well, join me. All right. Maintain composure.
Woohoo.
Yeah.